Turning your Bibles to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, while you're turning there, Miss Becky Payton's going to come, and she's got the special for us tonight. So if you'll come, again, Psalm 78, that's where we'll look at. Thank you. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We're going to look at verse number 19. Psalm 78, verse number 19. It says, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled, "Can God Still? Can God Still?" Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and ask, Lord, that you please be a part of the service. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you please just bless and encourage and help the people, Lord, in the way that you help me with this thought. And I pray, Lord, that you please help, Lord, get me out of the way. And I ask, Lord, that something that is said would would be an encouragement and a challenge to the people tonight. Thank you for the preacher that we have, and I pray that you please be with him as he's in Iowa. Bring him back safely. And in your name we pray, amen. You know, we live in a crazy world. We live in definitely Isaiah 5:20 talks about how men call evil good and good evil, and that is definitely the day and age that we are in right now. You know, when police officers are public enemy number one, and not the thug that robbed the convenience store and then attacked the police officer. No, it's the police officer's fault for defending himself. We're living in a crazy world. You know, what kind of sense does it make to advocate for peace by killing other innocent people? Does that make any sense to you? I just read where two people were shot at a peace rally the other day. that's just weird to me. You know, that you're going to, let's go and rally for peace, and then before you know it, two people get shot. You know, this is a weird world that we're living in. And can I tell you that we are living in a wilderness in our country right now? We're going through a dry spell, a time when, you know, you could definitely see, just like the children of Israel, we're in a wilderness right now. Wilderness spiritually, a dry and thirsty place. And the question that the children of Israel, although they were accusing God, they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And if you were to read on, if you know the story, you'll find out that God can furnish a table in the wilderness. My mind recently has gone to the young people in our community and the young people in our nation and the circumstances that they're growing up in. Because of the young ears in here, I cannot tell you some of the stories that I've heard recently about young people and the homes that they grow up in and how they are taken advantage of morally at a young age. And that's sickening to me. And then you hear the statistics about the young, about when that happens to someone, how more likely they are to have that happen to someone else or for them to do that to someone else. And it's just amazing to me. It's just scary that we're growing up in this day and age where this is becoming more normal. A teen shows up at church wearing a t-shirt that's promoting the LGBT community, saying promote diversity. And it says this is a gay straight alliance. When I talk to the teenager about it, it says that in innocence they're saying, but Brother Mick, this is what I'm being taught at school. I'm being taught that I am wrong if I don't accept that. Hey, I'm being taught that if I shun those people, that I'm a bad person. I don't want to be a bad person. I'm being taught and I'm just obeying by wearing this shirt and I'm trying to be accepting of people. And they're growing up in this day and age. And you say, how in the world can somebody make it when they're growing up in this stuff? How in the world can young people make it when they're growing up in an environment that's just so sin-soaked that this world is and so sin-soaked that America is? And how can they grow up when there's so much filth on TV and there's so much filth around them? How can they grow up in all of that and still make it for God? This is something that's been tearing at me for a while, and you just see that and you just think, those people, those young people have no hope. They don't. A single mother had two young daughters. And as they're growing up, she wanted to get married again and gave her girls a dad. So she met this man. He was a pilot with a very successful business. In fact, he's very wealthy. Made lots of money, had lots of money. Married this guy who she thought was a good guy. And after several years of being married, it came out that he had an inappropriate relationship with a minor and was taken away to jail. He paid his own bail and showed up at home. As you can imagine, the mother did not want him there and did not want him around at night because of the situation. They got in a fight and they fussed. And finally, he got her to agree to go inside, and he went and got some items that he needed. He went down to the basement, came back up, and instead of having a duffel bag, he had a shotgun. Took that shotgun, killed the mother. Turned the shotgun on the mother-in-law, killed the mother-in-law, and was chasing after the two girls when the police showed up. One of those girls was at teen camp last week. One of those teen girls was on our team at teen camp last week. How in the world can she make it? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God do anything for this person, or is she doomed? She doesn't have dad. She doesn't have mom. The following Saturday, her mom had gone to college and had finished all of her requirements, and that Saturday she was supposed to walk and get her degree. That one of the daughters went and walked for her and got the degree. By the way, the very next day was Mother's Day. That's what young people are growing up in today in America. That's what young people are faced with today in America. What chance do those girls have? Hey, what chance do our young people have? In the 70s, Harold B. Seidler preached a message entitled, Can God? And he used this text. And throughout the message, he proclaimed, God can! God can! God can! And you say, well, Brother Mick, that was in the 70s. That's back when the largest churches in America, the largest churches in every state was a Baptist, an independent Baptist church. It's not that way anymore, Brother Mick. It's not that way anymore. So can God still furnish a table in the wilderness? He could before, but can he now? Can he still? I believe that he can. But three things need to happen. Look over in verse number 4. Psalm 78, verse number 4. Listen to what he says. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. First thing that we need to do. Hey, if the young people of this generation are going to make it, if your young people are going to make it in this wicked world, the first thing that we need to do is we need to stay in delight. Stay in delight. We need to praise God. We need to tell our young people. We need to tell the young people that come in off of the bus, and we need to tell them about God. Hey, this younger generation, they're growing up in a crazy world, and they need to hear about how great that God is. They need to hear about how David went out and he fought Goliath, not just with a sling, but he fought Goliath with God. We need to tell them about those stories. We need to tell them about the miracles that Jesus performed. We need to tell them about Moses and all that God did through Moses and what God did there. We need to tell them about that. We need to tell them the stories. We need to praise God. We need to tell them what God has done in our lives. We need to praise God if these young people are going to have any hope of God, of serving God in the future. They need to hear about the stories that are in the Bible. They need to hear the great things that God has done. Turn over to 1 Samuel. Keep your finger here in Psalm 78. We're going to come back to that. But 1 Samuel chapter number 1. They need to hear about Samuel. So, Brother Mick, why do they need to hear about Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter number 1. And I'll read in verse number 11. You know the story? And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou, verse number 11, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Skip down to verse number 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Skip down to verse number 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Skip down to verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. She prayed for a son. She begged God for a son. And God gave her that son. And then she took that son and gave him back to God. And every day that Samuel lived, it was a reminder of God's answer to prayer. Hey, every time that Samuel opened his eyes, he was reminded, hey, I shouldn't be here right now, but my mom begged and my mom prayed and God did something for my mom. That's why I'm here. It was a reminder that God could still do great miracles. Now think about the home that Samuel grew up in. Yes, he grew up in the house of God. Sure, he grew up in a preacher's home, but just think about what was going on in that home. Think about the wickedness that was going on in that home. 1 Samuel 2, verse number 11 says, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Eli's sons Hophni and Phinehas, the Bible calls they were wicked men. During sacrifices, there was a specific way that they were supposed to take sacrifices, and they were supposed to take meat so they could eat that. And instead of doing it the way that God had said, and at the time that God had said, they got greedy, and they took meat when it was still raw. But you know what that tells me about the sacrifice? It didn't get sacrificed all the way. So they took more than they were supposed to. They took before they were supposed to because they were greedy. Not only did they do that with the meat and did they get greedy, but of course we know how immoral they were. Verse number 22 talks about that immorality. You know, it had gotten so bad that the people, the children of Israel, they didn't even want to come and sacrifice to God because of the wickedness that was there. The wickedness that was at the house of God, they didn't even want to come. They didn't want to sacrifice because they were being taken advantage of. This is the home that Samuel grew up in. Brother Mick, how can those children make it who are growing up in the wickedness? And how can they make it growing up in the immorality? Well, Samuel did. Samuel had grown up in wickedness. Samuel had grown up in gross immorality, but he kept himself clean and God was able to use him in a great way. They need to hear about Samuel. They need to hear about how God can still use somebody that grows up in that. But even in that wicked home, God was able to raise up an individual to serve him because that individual was reminded every day of God's ability to answer prayer and do great things. He stayed in the light. I'm here because God answered my mom's prayer. I'm here because God can still do great things. Can God still? God still can. Hey, can God still furnish a table in the wilderness, even though there's no food, and even though there's nothing to drink? Can God still do that? Yes, He can. He can do it in the 70s, but He can still do that now. God still can. While the world is praising all of the reprobates out there, and I hesitate to name all of the reprobates that the world raises up as heroes, we need to be praising God. While the world is raising up people who are doing for the vile things that they're doing, we need to raise up people who are doing things for God. We need to praise God. We need to stay in delight. Now keep your finger here in 1 Samuel. Turn back over to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78. It says in verse number 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So they need to stay in delight, but then secondly, we need to stay in the right. Stay in the right. Can God still furnish a table in the wilderness of this wicked world? God still can. But we must obey Him. Preacher's first point on Sunday night was the burden of the first step is on us. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will hear their land. Sometimes we want God to do all the work for us, but that's just not how it works. God wants us to take that first step of obedience, and once we step out by faith and once we do something for Him, then God says, all right, then I'll do something for you. You did this? All right. It's interesting to see how many if-then statements are in the Bible. If you do this, then I will do that. And God is waiting for someone to step up and simply obey Him. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Verse number 1. This is another familiar story. And the child ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. The first three times he was listening, but he was listening to the wrong voice. And unless we are listening for the voice of God, many times we will not hear what He wants us to do. We'll miss out on what He has for us. Samuel was in the right place, but was not listening for the voice of God. We need to be in church. And it's good for us to be in church. But what good is church if we're not listening for the voice of God in church? We need to read through our Bibles. It's something that I encourage every single one of the teenagers to do. But what good is reading through our Bibles if we're not listening for the voice of God in the reading? We need to go to camps. young people. We need to go to revivals like we're going to have in 2 weeks. We need to have those things. We need to come to revival fires. But what good is it to go to those things if we're not listening for the voice of God? We want God to still work. Then we need to obey Him. We need to teach our families to stay right with God. And that starts with actively listening to Him every day. That means putting some thought into it and not just showing up to church and, oh, well, you know, hopefully he can beat me over the head with something, but actively listening to what God has for us. That's the first thing that Samuel needed. Obedience required active listening. Next thing obedience requires is ongoing action. Ongoing action. And Samuel grew, verse number 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, what a statement right there. This wasn't just a momentary task of listening. All right, listen to me for just a little bit, then you can go on and do whatever you want. This was a lifestyle that was changed. When he was turned to God, it took him three times until they figured out what was going on. But once he got turned to God, then he wasn't going to miss out on anything. He might have listened before and missed out on who it was that was calling, but when he realized that it was God that was talking to him, he wasn't turning back. He was going to actively listen, and he was going to make sure that that was an ongoing action. That it wasn't just a one time, I'll obey God right now, but we'll see about it in a couple of months. I'll actively listen right now, but you know, in a little while, I may have more important things to do. No, it's an ongoing action. And you know, it's not just for the young person growing up, but it's also for the seasoned Christian. It's up to us to not let the words of God fall to the ground. How many times, you know, we're blessed with having such an incredible pastor who gets up and he preaches the word of God to us. And I wonder how many times I have sat there and while he is preaching, I've let the word of God fall to the ground without me receiving it and acting on it. Obedience requires active listening, but it also requires ongoing action. If the young people of today are going to make it, they need to praise God. They need to stay in delight. They need to obey God. They need to stay in the right. And then lastly, and by the way, we need to do that to show that to the young people too. We need to teach that to them. And then lastly, turn over to Psalm 78. Again, keep your hand there in 1 Samuel, but Psalm 78. Says in verse number 9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Stay in the light, stay in the right, and lastly, stay in the fight. The children of Ephraim, they had everything that it took to be victorious that day. They had everything that they needed. They were equipped with what they needed to be equipped with. But they were not victorious because they turned back. You know, as I was looking this up, there isn't another direct reference of what's going on here about these children of Ephraim. But as I was looking up a couple of commentaries, it's interesting where it points back to. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And the last verse of that chapter, and then we'll read into the next chapter. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek, and the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenants of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh that they may bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid. And they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing here too. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of the mighty of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Right here, God had told the children of Israel how they were to fight their wars. He talked about it in Deuteronomy chapter number 20. How they were supposed to search their hearts, there were confessed sins, but they didn't want to do that. That took too much work. That took too much effort. We can't do that. So we're not going to do it the way that God said we're going to do it. We're going to give it the old college try. We're going to go out and we're going to do the best. Hey, didn't we see victory before? So they went out on their own. And we found out that they were defeated. So after that didn't work, what can we do? Well, we still can't do what God told us to do in Deuteronomy 20. So let's do what Moses and Joshua did. Let's go get the Ark of God. So they sent to get the Ark of God. They bring it back. And guess who brings it back? Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas, they're bringing that Ark of God. And everybody, "Yeah, all right, we're going to win now. This is the Ark of God. This is important." Now they have the Ark of God, which shouldn't have been out there in the first place. They're using it as a rabbit's foot. And they're thinking, okay, everything's going to be all right now because we got the Ark of God here. The Israelites shout, "We're going to win now." The Philistines say, get scared, and they start talking to each other. "Well, you don't want to be a servant to the Hebrews, do you? You don't want to be their servant. So we got to get ready. We got to get fight like we've never fought before." And they fought. Listen now, the Philistines fought even worse than they did the first time. And when you and I as Christians, we start seeing victories and we start seeing, and they start seeing that something might be going on, and they might hear that we're getting excited, the world's going to fight us more than they ever have before. And they're going to step up and they're going to fight us and they're going to do whatever they can to put us down. And instead of stepping up to the challenge, or even better, stepping up and getting right with God and doing it the right way, the children of Ephraim, armed and fully equipped, turned back in the day of battle. We've seen victories in the past. We've seen God do great things in Baptist churches. We've seen God do great things in our church. And the world hates that. The devil hates that. And the devil's going to fight us like he's never fought before. Listen, the Ark of God was the most important piece of furniture in the tabernacle. In the Ark of God were the two tablets of the law. And on it was the mercy seat. The throne of God was on there from which he spoke to the people. And the Ark pictured Jehovah God. And when that was removed from the temple, it was not where it was supposed to be. And the people fell flat on their faces. We need to fight to keep God in His right place. We need to fight. The world is going to step up. The world is fighting us like they've never fought before. It's incredible to see some of the things that they're passing. Even the military is passing certain procedures that are just incredible right now. And we say, how in the world can a Christian make it in this day and age? We got to fight back. We have to stay in the fight. We can't give up. It's getting tough. I understand that. But we have to fight to keep God where He should be. And that should be in our lives. That should be in our church. And that should be in our community. We got to fight to keep God in His right place. Keep God where He should be, controlling our lives. Samuel grew up in a wicked environment, just like some of those young people that we see get off those buses. Samuel grew up in a wicked place, just like your children are growing up in a wicked world. But they have a chance, just like Samuel had a chance. Can God still? God still can. But we need to stay in the light. Let's praise God. Remind our children about what God has done for us. Remind those that get on the bus, tell them the stories about how much God loves them and how great God is. Stay in the light. Stay in the right. Let's obey God. We ought to obey God rather than man. When it comes down to it, we need to obey what God tells us to do. Stay in the right. And then lastly, stay in the fight. We're armed with all that we need to be armed with. We are equipped with all that we need in order to fight the devil and fight this world. Let's not turn back in the day of battle. Because there are some young people that need us. There are some young people who are coming up behind us. And they need to see that God can still furnish a table in the wilderness. Can God still? Yes, He can. He still can, just like He could before. He can, just like He will in the future. God still can right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for how much You love us. And Lord, the same God that we serve today is the same God that the Israelites served while they were coming out of Egypt. It's the same God that Samuel worshipped. It's the same God that brought him out of the wicked environment, the awful circumstances that he was right in the middle of. It's the same God. And Father, we're begging You that You please do a work again. We're in a mixed up world. Our nation has gotten so far from You. And Lord, we need You to do something so our young people can make it. Lord, so we can make it. We need You to help us. But at the same time, we need to understand that there are some things that we need to do. Help us to do what we need to. Help us to praise You. Help us to obey You. And help us to stay in the fight and keep after it. Stay faithful for You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if there's anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Looks like it's mostly church folks here, but that doesn't exclude any of us. I wonder if there's anybody that says, Brother Mick, I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die, but I'd like to know that. Just slip your hand up. I won't embarrass you, but if there's anybody like that, slip your hand up, put it right back down. All right. I wonder if there's anybody in here that says, Brother Mick, something that was said in the message spoke to my heart. Maybe I've gotten discouraged, just like you did. I've gotten discouraged about the world and the circumstances that young people are growing up in, that we're growing up in. And I've gotten discouraged, but I've been challenged to do more because God can still furnish a table in the wilderness. If that's you, just raise your hand as an uplifted testimony. Say something that you said spoke to my heart. Well, let's all stand, and as the piano plays, why don't you come forward? Why don't you talk to God about what you can do, what you need to do, in order to see God still do a work. Can God still furnish a table in the wilderness? He still can.